This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Em.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks, everyone.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks. How you doing today?
I'm
doing
good.
How is your mental health today?
My mental health, pretty solid today. I'm having a little bit of anxiety because I can hear the puppy in her crate downstairs. And I'm not moving around. I don't know how. She's so sneaky. She knows that I'm here. When we're gone, she's perfect and does fine in the crate. But right now, she's like, Mama, I know you're home.
Dogs
get
are
me
incredible.
Out.
They sense things. They know when
yep.
you're upset.
Yes.
Really amazing. Just
I know,
fascinating.
But they're good for your mental health.
They're good for your mental health.
Or if your partner has mental health issues.
There it is.
The tie-in. The tie-in. What to do when you have a partner, a family, friends, anyone that you're a little worried about their mental health. One of the number one questions we get asked is, how do I get so-and-so to go to therapy? Mm-hmm. And so, although we can't make other people do it, we're going to talk a little bit about how to handle these situations.
And let us just say, it can be really hard for someone, especially someone who is like so into mental health. And if you're listening to this podcast, my assumption is that that's something that you're interested in, something you do a lot of work around.
And people in your life don't.
And people in your life don't, right? And so you're controlling what you have control of, which is listening to this podcast and maybe going to therapy yourself. I think it can be really hard when you're doing so much work around your mental health and you see the benefit of it. Like, you see how much it's changed your life, how your relationships have changed. And then you see other people in your life who maybe haven't done that work. It can be very frustrating, hard, upsetting, difficult to handle. And so we wanted to talk about that today because I think it's something that is like very common.
Yeah. It is.
We all deal with it in different ways.
So let's talk about it by starting to go through some of the questions we have today to sort of navigate our conversation here.
Yes, love it.
Because here's one of, like I said, top question we get. How to suggest therapy to someone who's not willing to try? You can suggest therapy as much as you want. If the person is unwilling to try, there's nothing you can really do. But what you can say is, I need you to get help for our relationship. I'll go with you. I'll help you find someone. I am worried about you, right? Like, we have different control in different relationships. In a relationship with our parents, we can set a boundary. I can't come home in the evenings, right? I can't come home when you're escalated. I can't come home when you drink, blah, blah. Here's all these things we can do. When it's someone in our life, let's say someone we live with, a roommate or partner, I can't keep doing this unless we figure out a different way to function. Right. So the boundary you set and the communication is going to be really different in different relationships. If your boss does not take care of their mental health at all, it's going to be real fucking limited.
Different conversation you're having there. Maybe none at all.
maybe none at all. Right. Maybe that's just a new job.
Can you imagine being able to have a conversation with your boss about their mental health? I hope that our clinicians, if either of us are losing our minds. I hope that our clinicians can come to us and say, listen,
we're worried about this. even if there's something we miss, right? Like, it doesn't have to be like it's like this like extreme thing. But like, if we do anything, you know, people have blind spots all the time. And that's the thing is, like, sometimes you don't know. Like, I will say this. I do this as a job, right? And like, when I, especially postpartum, I didn't realize how bad it was until I was out of it. So there is a lot of times that you cannot see what you're in. It doesn't mean people are necessarily resisting, but it's really hard when looking at something means you're going to have to change something. And I was in such survival mode at the time. I don't think that even if someone came to me and said it, I would hope I would have heard them. And I can't necessarily guarantee I would have. I think I would have just said, this is just hormones. This is just baby blues.
And I think that that's a piece of it too, right? Like that we go to someone when we're in a different state of mind than the state of mind that they are in. And we almost expect them to be able to see our perspective from like where we are. But when you're like in the thick of depression, it's much harder to be able to see things clearly, right? Yeah. To be able to say like, yeah, oh, I should get help for this, or I should. And so the tough thing about depression is that it does create kind of this veil and a challenge to be able to see that like this might be helpful, right? When you're in that place, you're like, well, no one's going to understand this, right? Like, why would I go get help? So especially if you've never experienced depression before, you've never experienced that, it's hard to really, you know, understand what that the place that that person might be in. I think we're so quick also for someone to, and I, listen, I'm guilty of this, for someone who like really believes in therapy, obviously really believe in therapy, like strong supporter of therapy, that we jump right into like, well, you should go talk to someone, right? Like jump right into therapy. As opposed to like, maybe there are some other things that might be helpful for their mental health that they're more open to doing or more willing to do, that might ease them towards taking care of themselves that maybe isn't at the time going to therapy.
Yeah.
Therapy might be a big jump.
Huge. Huge.
I'm sorry I interrupted you when you were talking about the boss situation. It just...
I loved it.
It made me think.
I don't think you did. No, right? But I think I love what you're saying of like, sometimes there's an ease in. Sometimes we're in a different place. And although I wish that we all grew up in families and cultures that normalize therapy, it's simply just not true. It's not. And also to say that therapy has not done harm to many people is also not true. Many people do not go to therapy because they had really horrific experiences with therapy, or know people that had horrific experiences with therapy, or had some type of trauma. Let's say your roommate, when they were younger, went to the school counselor to talk about stuff at home. The school counselor reported them to CPS. And then, right, like, and then there's a fear if I tell anyone. These are very, very real things that happen because of the system. And so we're not here to place judgment on, like, I'm better because I go to therapy, right? Like, it's here to figure out how to navigate what works and how to best help people in our community, right? So the question was, how do you suggest therapy to someone who's not willing to try? What's your script, Jen?
I mean, I think just starting with the idea of like, they're not willing to try. That one, as I said, I, you know, whether it's therapy or something else, to be able to say something like, hey, I understand that, you know, you don't want to jump into therapy. I completely understand that. Is there anything else we can talk about that might be more helpful for your mental health? Something that is there, like, can we brainstorm what can we do together that might help pull you out of this or take care of you in some way? And then you can slowly ease the idea in about therapy. I don't think it's something, when you push something on someone, they're more likely to go in the opposite direction.
Nobody right? likes that.
No. They're like, I just want to make this decision for myself.
Yeah,
right.
You need to do this. I'd be like, fuck, I do.
Right. And I think you can say something like, right. You can say something like, I really care about you and I really care about our relationship. And I love you and I see you're struggling. I understand that you don't want to go into therapy. I respect that. Can we talk about like some other options? Like, what are you open to? Like, because I see how hard this is for you and I want to help you in some way. I want to help support you. And so how can I help support you in doing that? It might be the case that they're not willing to go to therapy right now. They might be willing to go to therapy in the future. We have to allow people to do things in their own time And once again, I am guilty of this.
Tell us your guilt.
Well, I so believe in therapy so much. My husband's family, for example, I really infiltrated their family with therapy. I was just like, everyone needs to go, right? It's the best. So
how many of them went? What was the data that came out of that?
I think I'm like slowly getting there. I've been in the family for maybe like 8 years now. So I'm slowly getting people there.
So that's what I mean about slowly. People think, okay, I think that is really important to say.
It's been 8 years.
People think, I mean, 2 weeks. When we talk about patients and relationships, I don't mean 2 weeks, baby.
We mean years.
I mean, shit takes time. And you're also allowed to say, you know what? That doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me to wait 8 years, right? In other relationships, I'm like, baby, I got my whole life. Let's do it.
Patient lady.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's a piece of it is like, to be patient. And also, while you're suggesting something, understand that they're not going to come from the same position as you. They don't have the same experience with therapy. And so you can talk about your experience, but also be understanding that maybe they are not as open to that experience and mm-hmm. that's okay. So that there are other options, right? Like, what are other options? Let's talk about that. Let's brainstorm. What do you think?
I love that.
Scripts for that?
So mine is that people tend to do stuff in community more, right? So I'm going to offer to go with you. I'm going to offer for us to go together. I'm going to offer to help you find someone. Those are things that I'm going to do. That doesn't work for everyone, but that's what works for me. And so when you say, how do you suggest therapy as someone who's not willing to try? I think I would say, you know what? I think you're going to totally knock down my request. I think there's no chance you're going to do this. And still, I'm going to say it and put it on the record. I want you to go to therapy. I want you to talk to someone. I want you to get every support because you deserve it, not because you're in trouble. And I would repeat that every single day. I know you don't want to hear it again. It's a Tuesday, but guess what? I'll say it on Wednesday and Thursday too, baby. I hope you do this. But the generosity, the softness, and the compassion, eventually they're going to be like, Jesus fucking Christ. Or at least I'm going to know, here's what I did.
Yeah,
I'm never going to leave and say, I wish I did something different. I wish I brought that up more. I'm not going to do it out of rage. I'm not going to use it to punish them. Well, you should be in fucking therapy. And I'm saying I'm not going to do that because I've done that in the past. Doesn't work well. Doesn't work. Found that out.
Also, then it becomes, if that becomes part of the script, then anytime you are suggesting therapy for real without using it as like a weapon, then they're going to see it as a weapon, right?
Exactly.
It starts to fall into that category. So you really got to be careful about the way you talk about therapy as opposed to like, well, you got to get it together. Like, you need to go see someone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Okay, so how to deal with a mom who is in denial about being an alcoholic and she's your bestie? Well, one, I would say, are you also in denial? You can write that in, but if she's your bestie, if she's that important, what are the relationship changes you also have to make? I'm really concerned about your drinking, and because of that, I'm not going to drink with you. I'm really concerned about this. Could we go together? Hey, maybe I'm fucking wrong. Maybe I am dead wrong, and I'm happy to be dead wrong if possible. But could there be something going on with your drinking? Hey, could we try not drinking together? I want to do this for me. Can we do it together? Can we take a month off from drinking?
And I think you can talk about, too, how it might be affecting your relationship with each other, right? You have a really close relationship. It's going to be important to talk about how the alcoholism is affecting your relationship.
Right. So that might be something like saying, Mom, I realized that on Thursday when you go to your bowling league and you drink, I'm really nervous about you driving home. I find myself that I'm not able to sleep at night because I'm thinking about you. I find that I have to check in on you. Here are the things that start to come up to me related to this part of you.
Yeah. I mean, once again, I want to just like, I'm probably going to say this the entire episode. It's just, this is hard. This is a hard topic. It's a really hard topic because, you know, when someone is so resistant and we care about them so much and we love them, we see such potential in them taking care of themselves and being a better version of themselves. And we want to move them towards that because we care about them so much. So I just want to like reiterate the fact that everyone who's like listening to this, writing this in, you very clearly care so much and so deeply about these relationships. And I think that that's just incredible and important.
So I want to talk about this one. I think this one is very, very important, which is sibling casually mentions suicidal ideations, but says she's doing fine. How to not freak out? So one, I think we have to talk about that. Unfortunately, suicidal ideation has become like trendy and very casual. I said unfortunately, but maybe I don't want to put a stigma on that. Maybe like it just is. And like whatever, it doesn't matter either way. Mm-hmm. It's just part of our culture and like we just have to adapt. So I would say to her, you know, when you do that, I internally find myself freaking out. How would I know if you weren't fine? Can we have some code word if it was more? I can commit to not freaking out when you make a joke if you can commit to being honest when it's deeper. How would you know and how would I know? And have like a conversation and be honest about what it does to you. Don't use you language, but I language. I realize that when you make a joke like that, I spend the next 30 minutes having an internal panic attack about what I should be saying and doing. So I'll commit to regulating myself with your humor if you commit to being honest and figuring out how do we say.
I also wonder if there's, you know, if there's something in this relationship with your sibling that has happened in the past, right? Like, has there been consistent mental health struggles, right? Is this
history of self-harm, eating disorder?
Something, right, yeah. Right. Like, there's something that has been there. There's a reason to take it more seriously, right? So I would also wonder, like, is there some stuff from the past in your relationship with your sibling that you're still trying to process through?
Or just a relationship with anyone. I wish with I did anyone. Something different. Or there was this kid I sat next to in math that something happened with. Yeah.
Right. Or were you expected to take care of your sibling, right? Like, how much emphasis was your role in your relationship with your sibling and your family dynamic if they were really struggling with something? So I would also start to look at, like, what was your role? What role did you play in your relationship with your sibling? And what did that look like? Is that something you want to work on as your sibling gets better? If they are getting better, how can you work on that role and learn how to take care of yourself and say, well, how do I want our relationship to shift at this point? Mm-hmm, so that would be another question I have for them.
How to not take needing space to work on themselves personally.
Oof.
I have something that no one wants to hear.
Say it. Now you have to say it.
What if it is personal? What if they need a break from you? What would that mean? It's a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give an example, right?
If I said that to you.
If you said that, let's do this. Let's say, here's what I hear about. I'm struggling with fertility. All of a sudden you get pregnant and I'm like, I need a break. It's not necessarily personal to you, but there's something with you that provokes it within me. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
So when we talk about this idea of not taking it personally, you might have to say, like, okay, this is more to do with her struggle with fertility than it does with me as a human. It doesn't say anything about my worth. But it does mean that something about me is, you know, triggering, and how should I handle that as well?
And I think that another thing that, you know, no one wants to hear is that there are times in our lives where we outgrow one another too. And that can be really, really hard to hear. And you might get to a place in your relationships, your friendships, where you might be at different places. Like, the fertility example is a perfect example of, it might create a little bit of separation in your relationship, or I don't know, I'm trying to think of other ones, but you might be in different places. And because of that,
I lost my job and you just told me that you got a huge promotion.
Exactly. Another example.
Right.
Or the things that you used to do together are no longer, a piece of your relationship anymore.
I'm a sober person and we used to drink every Thursday. Exactly.
You're so good with examples.
I'm good at examples. Throw them out. I can see you doing it.
You're so good at it. And so my first thought would be, how can you, like, what's coming up for you, right? What is it, what feels personal about it, right? What kind of relationship did you have with this person? But I think the fact of the matter is, this person is setting a very clear boundary, right? They are saying, I need some space to work on myself. And that in and of itself is a healthy thing to do.
It right? is.
They're being very communicative about the fact that they do need boundaries.
And you'll probably still need to regulate yourself.
Yes. Because also, if that wasn't present in your relationship before, right? This is new, and this might feel like a rejection for you. So your ability to regulate and work through that feeling of rejection is going to be really important in this. So it might feel personal, and you can work through that for yourself, right?
Before we started recording, I got in this call, and what did I say? Do you remember?
I can maybe only record one.
I said, I want to be done, right? We had planned to record two. I said, I want to be done by 2:00. I want to go on a hike with my family. Did I say to you, fuck you, Jen, I don't want to be near you for one goddamn second?
If you did, I'd be like, okay, you take your time. Clearly something's going on.
Yeah, you would.
Clearly something's going on with you. Maybe you have some things to process.
But right, because I set a boundary.
Yeah.
That boundary affected you. Also, we will only get one done.
You're acting like I want to record like a million today. Like, you think I'm disappointed.
This is the example, bro.
I'm like, oh, God,
I'm not
God,
asking
how
about
terrible.
Real life Jen. I'm asking about the therapeutic process.
Real life Jen is like, oh, my God, maybe this person's going to cancel and we wanted to record today.
But I'm saying, right, I set a boundary that affected you and your plans in your day.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah, really, really. I'm really upset about it. Really affected me.
I need you to pretend to be for this.
Sorry.
Example.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm back.
What could have possibly?
Okay. So I had planned to do this recording, and I am really specific about my plans, and I make plans, and I'm really rigid about them. And so you're affecting the rest of my garbage.
This example has gone to shit.
Okay. No, like, I hear you.
2 minutes
ago,
you're so good at examples.
I know. No. I'm screwing it up. And so, okay, I could have been like, hey, I planned on recording today. We're going to have to record on another day now. And because of that, I'm really upset. I'm taking it personally because you don't care about me.
I can't take it seriously. Yeah, So you could have felt any of these ways, right?
Yes.
You could have felt rejected, abandoned, annoyed, frustrated, angry, any of those things. And it still doesn't make the boundary I set wrong. Hey, I want to be done. I need some time with my family. It's how many more beautiful days are we going to have? We live in Pennsylvania. I got to get outside, right? Like, yes, people are allowed to be mad at you for setting those things, and you're still allowed to set them. So when you say you could have taken it personally or could have said, guess Emily really needs the rest of the afternoon off.
So let's say I take it personally, right? If I'm like, oh God, she, I'm angry. She doesn't care about me. Right. That would be something for me to process through of like, okay, how am I going to take care of myself in these moments? What am I going to be? How can I adjust? Right. How can I adjust to this? Emily and I are in a partnership.
Yeah.
And that's every relationship, right? Yep. You can look at it as a partnership. When you're in a partnership, you have to be respectful of someone else's boundaries and what feels right for them. Because without that respect, there is no healthy partnership.
Now, Jen could say, you want to know what? This is the 80th time Emily has done this. This is not working for me anymore. I have to take a break from the podcast, stop the podcast, et cetera, any of these things. And she gets to do that.
I guess right? make that choice.
Gets to make that choice. So you are right. So we need to respect people. We can still be honest and direct in relationships and still respect. So if someone says no, that's it.
Right. Like I would get to set a boundary if I'm going through. I'm like, listen, this has been happening. This is really hard for me to continue to adjust my schedule over and over again. And so I need to set a boundary now of like what works for me. And that's a partnership, right? Both people are able to set their boundaries. They're able to communicate their boundaries and you work with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can say, I respect you. I love you. I want you to go on a hike with your family. I'm a little jealous. I wish I could go on a hike.
You can.
I know.
You won't, but you can.
I won't, but I can. I'm wearing really big boots today. And like when I move my legs, it hurts my hips. Do you want to see them?
Yeah, kind of. Oh my God, are those new?
Yeah.
Yeah, where'd you get those?
Doc Martens.
I was going to say they look like Docs. Is that your first pair of Docs?
Yeah, they dig into my ankles.
You're new. You're a Doc girl now.
I'm a newbie.
Well, you have always wanted to be emo, so this works out well for you.
Okay. So bad. I'm emo inside.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Here's a really, really good question. I like this because it goes off what we just talked about. How to support them when they want space, but you're worried they're isolating themselves. Ooh. Mm. So you're saying, right, like, I want to respect this and there's concern. And I think that's the language you use to them. I want to respect you and give you space. And I'm worried you're isolating. And how would we know if, you know, this wasn't working?
And I think you can say, too, hey, I respect the fact that you're isolating and that that's important for you. I'm going to keep reaching out periodically. And you can take it if you want it. If not, you can, you know, continue to take time to yourself. Like for me, I am someone when I am struggling with something that like isolating actually is pretty helpful for me. And it's not for everyone. It's something that people go into and then it takes them into a dark hole.
That is one thing I've never experienced in my life.
Yeah.
Isolating myself. Mine's like, I'm going to chit chat with everyone.
Yeah. No. Like if
mine's like, I need to shut up.
Yeah. I need to. if I'm struggling with something, I need to take some time for myself because almost creates an emotional boundary for me of like, if I'm separate from everyone else, I can recenter myself. I know how to take care of myself if I am, it's just me and I'm focused on. So I think that it also comes with the person you're talking about. Do they know themselves? Do they understand themselves? Are they typically someone who needs to isolate in order to, you know, readjust? If Emily was like, I need to isolate and not talk to anyone, I'd be like, something's wrong.
No, what if I really did though?
No, but you do for like a day.
Okay, yeah. If it was a week.
If it was like a week.
That's true.
I know.
And let's be honest, it was not a day. It's like I had like 3 hours.
It is. It's just like a little bit of time. Because she'll say that. She'll be like, I need some time to myself, and it'll last just like a little bit of time.
And then I'll be like, look at this thing I found on Etsy.
Yes. That's exactly what happens.
So that's I think some things to consider too is like, has this happened before? Is it helpful for them if they isolate? How long have they been isolating for? You know, if they've isolated themselves in the past, did things get worse? Did it not help? So I think there's so much to consider in terms of history, how much they take care of their mental health, how much they understand and know themselves. If it's a big shift from their personality, right? So like, there's so many things to consider in that.
Yeah.
But I do think you can have a conversation with them. It's like, hey, I just want to reach out to you because I realize you're isolating. And if that's helping you, that's great. Keep taking care of yourself. But I am here if you need me. And I'm going to reach out periodically to see how you're doing.
I love that. And then you don't get to get resentful when you do it, right? Yeah. Like you have to say to yourself like, oh, well, okay, well, I've reached out to them every day for a week and they still aren't giving me anything. Like once again, let's go back to the patience thing and that like real relationships are like dedication and slow in time. Trying to hold a boundary with an unwell person, which I'm guess means someone who's struggling, but other families undermine it. If you're the first person in your family to do something different and set a boundary, it is an incredibly inherently lonely role. Being the person in your family that changes it and goes against the grain, it doesn't matter how well you do it, how kind you do it, how gentle you do it, how blah, blah, blah you do it. It will be lonely. That's it. And so you'll have to say, people are going to undermine this, and still, this is the right decision for me.
You don't have control over any boundaries that anyone in your family is creating, right? That is not something that you have control over. The only control you have are the boundaries that you set with this person. And it might be the case, right? If the goal is, well, I'm going to set this boundary. So the thing that comes to mind for me, and I don't know if that's what this person's talking about, if like someone in the family has an addiction, right? you've made the choice to set this boundary and not enable them. I'm not going to enable them. Because I want them to get better. But other people in the family are continuing to do the same pattern. That can be really, really hard because you are doing what you can do in that relationship to not enable that or not give in that situation. But you see that your family members are not doing that same thing. That can be really, really hard because you know that that's continuing to support this addiction.
Well, the other thing about it is like when people undermine it, you're also allowed to set a boundary with those people that like, I understand you're coming from a place of love and I'm not interested in talking about this anymore. I'm not mm-hmm. going to talk about this anymore with you.
Mm-hmm. And you can say, listen, this is where I stand. I recognize you don't see it the same way. But so clearly we're on opposite ends. And so we are not going to come together on this. And I'm going to continue to let you know this is where I stand. And I will continue to set my boundary both with this person and with your family.
Yeah. Somebody said his anxiety is something that can be passed down.
Yes.
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 Sorry.
Yes. Very anxiety, much so.
Depression, eating disorders, addiction.
Yeah, take all of it.
Sorry.
What a lovely gift that we get from our parents. What a beautiful
The gift that truly keeps on
the
giving.
The gift that keeps on giving. And not only will you get that gift, you will also pass it on down to your children.
And so you give them ways to cope. We try our best and we know that inevitably we are on a big floating walk and not that much actually does matter. And we figure out a way.
A floating what?
Rock. It's like that's like what the earth is, right? Are we floating?
I thought you said walk, like thing you cook in.
I probably did say walk. Walk? Rock?
Every time
I went to a lot of speech therapy and now I talk for a living and it's weird.
It's beautiful though. And every time my husband makes stir fry in our walk, he plays the song Walk It Out.
That's actually a really cute family tradition.
It's really cute.
You know what's funny is like I was thinking that my mom likes to point out my daughter's speech is incredible. She's just been a talker from a really young age and she's just really good at talking. And so she says, like, I couldn't say the word guitar until I was 8 years old with Millie, with so many hours of speech therapy. And Millie will be like, the rhinoceros will play the guitar and the hardest fucking words ever. And my mom was like, you couldn't do that until you were 8. I was like, yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you for reminding me of that.
The good news is my delayed speech was not passed on to my daughter.
Right. And look how much you're talking now.
Not well, but she's doing it. Okay. How to best support them while also protecting your own mental health. I like this one.
I love this one.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to think about creating an emotional boundary around yourself, right? We always talk about you cannot take care of anyone else unless you are taking care of yourself first. You have to feel really solid with yourself. It is not your job to be this person's, I don't know who they are to you, but whoever they are, it is not your job to be their therapist. Unless someone wrote this in and they're your client, right? I mean, maybe it is your job.
Go to supervision.
Go to supervision. That is our answer. No, but I think so. You have to be really solid and create safeguards around yourself when you are supporting other people struggling with their mental health. It's really, really your boundaries are really important and really essential.
And boundaries, let's like clarify what boundaries are, right? So like one of those may be leaving the situation, but also I think what you're referring to is emotional boundaries, right? Which is that like I'm going to try to not get triggered and regulate myself.
Yes. And so, but your ability to do that really depends on how much you have been taking care of yourself, right? So like if you had a really long day at work, right? And your boss yelled at you and you talked to a lot of angry people, whatever it is, you had like a really hard day at work, you come home, your ability to hold on to yourself and regulate your own emotions is going to be much more challenging. So it might be the case that you have these conversations or you're supporting this person at a time in which you have the emotional space. That might not be all the time. You might not always be in that place where you're able to do that. And so even just recognizing or being in tune with yourself to say, do I have the emotional space right now to create this emotional boundary while I'm supporting this person? Am I able to check in with yourself consistently over and over and over again? Because you also get to say, hey, I'm in a difficult headspace right now. I'm unable to be there for you. That is where your boundaries come in, because you have to be able to hold on to yourself. You have to be able to ground yourself, take care of yourself in order to set those boundaries and to be able to be there for that person without taking it on.
Love what you're talking about, right? So like one is like, how do I check in with myself and what my capacity is? So when I come home, when I enter in the house, what's my capacity today? And adjust accordingly every single time. The ability to walk away, to put yourself in a timeout or to calm down or whatever the fuck you want to call it, is incredibly important when going through this, especially if that person lives within your home. If your mom is someone who's difficult and triggering for you and you had a really bad day and you see her calling, it might be a day to not answer. Check in with yourself first and then adjust accordingly. That's what you have to keep saying every time.
Like the idea, I just want to talk about the idea of monitoring like how you're doing. Because I think that there's a misconception that we're supposed to be like consistent with how, if we've done the work on ourselves, we're going to consistently be able to like feel the same or not wake up stressed or like, or you know, things won't affect us. But as human beings, our emotional capacity varies from day to day. And it's going to, right? Depending on how much you're dealing with, how much you're working through, what you've done that day. And so that I think is just so important to highlight that like that varies and that changes based on like what you did that day or what you're going through, what you're dealing with emotionally, your hormones, right? Like there's so much that plays into that. And so we always say know yourself, grow yourself on this podcast. But truly, the more you know yourself, the more you know and you can check in with yourself and say, where am I today? The more you're going to be able to set those boundaries. But you have to be in tune with yourself.
We're going to run out of time here.
Wow.
This could probably be a two-parter. Wow. Maybe we'll do a part two in the future.
Yeah.
Because we have to get to Dear Em and Jen.
Yes.
Dear Em and Jen, I hope you can provide some insight into this or some further questions for me to consider in therapy. I'm finding that when my partner, who's usually really strong and steady, expresses himself to me, I have a hard time with it since I'm not used to seeing him struggle, like ever. It feels uncomfortable in the moment and my mind kind of goes blank on what to say or like how to nurture him or even just the be there thoughts. First of all, look at this badass insight.
Yes. And you go to therapy and you want questions to consider. You are like, this is lovely.
We love you.
First, I want to say if your partner doesn't typically open up, right, if they're always the strong one, the fact that they are opening up and they are starting to like express themselves to you first means that like they're feeling a level of safety with you already. If they're typically holding themselves together, or they're not expressing themselves, then it might be the case that they aren't used to letting that out, or they aren't used to, you know, talking about when maybe they don't feel as steady. And so clearly there's a safety in your relationship that's giving them the space to be able to talk about what they're going through. But it sounds to me like when they start to do that, your anxiety starts to come up. So something I would bring in therapy is like, what is that bringing up for you? Is it, I'm putting pressure on myself to say the right thing, or I want to be able to fully be there for them or make sure that this feels safe for them so that they continue to open up, right? So it sounds like instead of being able to be in the moment with them, be present with them, you might be going right into your anxiety. So I wonder what's coming up for you. What anxiety is coming? What's the fear? What's the worry about what's going to happen in those moments? The more you can understand that for yourself, the more you can go into, okay, I realize this is coming up for me. How do I ground myself, bring myself back down into the present moment so I actually can fully be there for them? There might not be a perfect thing to say.
I also would be like, what's it like to ask this person what he needs, right? She said, like, I don't know how to nurture him. Okay, ask him. Do you want me to, in times when this happens, do you want me to rub your back? Do you want me to just sit next to you? Do you want me to listen? Do you want me to get you a pillow to punch, right? Like, what are these things that would work? And then you have some direction. The reality is that as a society, we are so uncomfortable specifically with emotions, but also male emotions, that like we, right? Like, I wonder if they feel the same way if like a female does this. has this, right? How uncomfortable you are. And I've heard this in the room so many times, like, especially when a male starts crying for their, for like, if it's a female partner, to be like, oh, I like don't even know what to do for them. What would you do to a friend? In that moment, that's your friend. Good relationships are built on friendship. How do we nurture friends? How do we forgive friends? How do we talk to friends? And so in that, I want you to put yourself there. If this was my dear, dear friend, how would I handle it? And that's it for today's episode.
That's it for today.
That's it. We love you and thank you and love when you listen to Shrink Chicks. We hope you enjoy this episode and send it to someone else who might enjoy it as well. We always love a 5-star rating and a review on anywhere you get your podcast. You would follow us on Apple Podcasts. If you're looking for a clinician, we would love to hook you up with one of our amazing clinicians. If you are located in Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Florida, California, in person and virtual, in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, we have a brand new Rittenhouse location. It's opened up. We have immediate availability for some of the days, but also we have immediate availability for any low fee couples and family therapy. We have an amazing group of interns that are looking to continue their education in ours. So reach on out to us. We'd love to get you set up with a good fit. You can check us out, thetherapygroup.com. Follow us at Shrink Chicks and at The Therapy Group. And don't forget that to grow yourself,
you gotta know yourself.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much.